Hi, this is Paul. I am back in Sacramento. There's the dog. She's very excited to see me. Don't have a full workup video for you this morning. I just got back in last night. Trip was excellent. Learned a ton. Went to bed early because of the jet lag. Woke up early. Made a little members video for my car. I woke up, had a video in mind, exactly what I wanted to say, and thought I can sit here and stew on it, or I can get out there and do it. And so I went out in the car so as not to bother the dog or the wife or the son, and got a little membership video up, had a little recap of some of the things on the trip. I'll have to do a much broader recap. I'm going to be doing a number of videos with a bunch of people that I spent time with at the ARC. There's a whole artist group. I'm going to reach out to them and see who of them wants to do something. And then there's a bunch of randos to catch up with. And the dog was, I don't know how much training the dog had while I was gone, so I'll have to work on some of that. And Friday's a holiday, and Friday sort of weighs on me because it's Veterans Day, and in the United States, Veterans Day is sort of kind of just another holiday. It's a huge day in Great Britain, and it's a huge day because the First World War is still a thing that is remembered quite passionately. When I was up in Edinburgh in the castle, I noted that there was an enormous World War I memorial up there, which, given the limited space and the importance of that space, for them to put a World War I memorial of that size in that space is quite telling. Rod Dreher's been writing about the fact that there's a supposedly sort of a million-man march planned for the first to protest Israel and the war in Gaza. And Rod Dreher is very worried about that. There are a number of videos. The ARC videos continue to come out. And I hope some more of the speakers that are less well-known, I hope those videos come out, because those actually are as important in some cases as some of the major ones. And so those will keep cropping up. Here, this is a better angle. The sun is coming up and that light is just catching the gold on that tree. When I left Sacramento, it was about 90 degrees. And now that I'm back, high today will be 72. So fall is very much descending on the city. It's about 42 degrees right now, so I'm wearing a little heavier fleece. There'll be a lot more treatment of ARC. I saw a video this morning, Dave Rubin talking to Eric Weinstein. I have a lot of thoughts on that. I think ARC is going to sort of be in the background, but it will be sort of swirling behind the scenes. And because I was there, I can add a little bit of context to some of this material that is coming out. One of the things that happened at ARC was that I won't drop names, but someone set up a whole bunch of pods so that YouTubers could make content right there. I noticed some of the advertising for the Symbolic World Summit that's coming up. In some ways, this was a Jordan Peterson summit and a whole bunch of, or an IDW summit, and a whole bunch of IDW types were there. And so we're sort of seeing, okay, what's left of the IDW, where has it gone, to the degree that it was anything at all. And so I think there'll be some sense making and some perspective taking in these post ARC videos, especially the ones that once I start pointing them out, you'll be able to see which ones were taken at ARC and in that, because whereas most of us are sort of watching videos sort of haphazardly here and there and doing our sense making without the context, if you add the context of ARC and what it was about, it's super helpful for understanding why people are saying what they're saying in the videos that they're making. So I'll be hopefully doing some work on that in the next coming days. Again, Friday is Veterans Day. My wife has off. It's very unusual that my wife has a weekday off that isn't a Monday, because she's a school teacher. So I'm going to do my best to get my church work done so that I don't really have to be in on Friday so that I can actually have a day off. It's been, the total European trip was 16 days and didn't really get a Sabbath in any of those 16 days. I was able to go to church. I should do a full recap of the trip, similar to what John Van Donk and I did. Miss not having John for a recap like that because it was super helpful to do that with someone else. What I'm going to attach here was, I thought, one of the best pieces that I've seen Grim Grizz do. And what he noted was sort of the role of the Joker. He used Peugeot from the Chino Conference. He sort of gave a terrific little summary of this little corner, a great little on-ramp stream, and sort of postured Peterson as a Joker figure. And I think that's, you know, given his suits, it was fun at ARC. I met at least one of the suit makers making Peterson these very interesting suits. And thinking about, and you'll hear in this video, you'll hear sort of Grim Grizz run down this little corner. I'll put my face in the sun. Oh, and see, this is why people have studios. Grim Grizz sort of running through his emergence into the corner, how it works, what it means, and the role of the Joker. And in some ways, Peterson is playing a Joker role, and then of course the Joker is paid by the King, as Grim Grizz notes at the end of his little moment on the stage with Peugeot. I know he wanted to talk to Vervaeke, but at this point, Grim, you'll have to admit that the talk with Peugeot was a good one, and I think in some ways, because you had the longer encounter with John Vervaeke, I think providentially the right one, I'll throw that word into it. As I watch the anxiety, there's a lot of anxiety in the world right now. There are a lot of people that are very anxious about the future. And it reminds me of Jesus' admonition to his followers, do not worry. And I tell people that. I remind people that that is actually a command. And it seems like the most undoable command. But, and none of that means that we should in any way take away from our responsibility. The responsibility, Alliance for Responsible Citizens, that sort of is at the heart of ARC. It's the middle word. But Peterson is playing sort of a Joker role in some ways as we watch the unfolding of whatever it is that we are in the middle of. I've been listening to Alistair McGrath's biography of Lewis. This is my second time through it. And really appreciating it more, especially in the context of what's going on now. Listen to the Dave Rubin, Eric Weinstein. It's just a 20-minute video. It was recorded at ARC. Eric was very much in the same mindset when I had my small conversation with him. And I'm going to do a video on that video. Understanding kind of the role Eric is playing in this. So, yep, that's enough for now. I'm going to abut the little outtake from Grim Grizz's video because I think it has 132 views. A whole lot more people, I think, need to see it and will understand it. So, I don't know what my schedule is going to be like. We'll have to see what kind of content I can put out this week. No big promises. I appreciate other members of this little corner stepping up with more video content this week to fill the homeroom gap. But thank you all for your patience with my really basically sort of a 3-week pause in regular programming. And we move on forward together.
Hi, everybody. I'm Grim Grizz from the internet. And I've been asked to be speaking before you today because Chad said so. He's kind of the Pope of the TLC, and I know you don't know what that means, but It's great to be here. It's great to be here in front of you. It's great to be anywhere but Gaza or North Korea, right? Am I right? Okay, so here in this case is in a room in Oklahoma, but in what John Vervaeke would call the imaginal. I'm at the ARC presentation brought to you by Jordan B. Peterson. Now, personally, I think imaginal is okay, but they made that movie with all the actors they sacrificed in it, and they called it an imaginarium. So I don't know why we don't use that term. You're here, you all are here because a guy named Jordan B. Peterson invited you here, and I'm here similarly because that man exists. You see, once a time, probably around 2016, there was this thing where a friend of mine had sent me his classroom lectures because of my reasons. I thought maybe if I learned what they taught the shrinks, then I wouldn't need to see one. And, well, as it happened, he then popped off by wearing suspenders and speaking outside, making that person cry, and got really famous, really famous. And then, so I started watching, but I wasn't really, really hooked until after I saw a certain thing. And the reason I saw that certain thing is because I had been a cubicle rat for much of my career, typing what doctors said. You know, your phone does it now. It's not really a job anymore. But it was a job. And like, so I would listen to Joe Rogan and stuff on occasion. And through Joe Rogan and the YouTube algorithm, I had been primed toward experimenting with psychedelics. And so when Jordan Peterson got the following endorsement, boy, howdy, did my ears perk up. You know, this one.
Dr. Peterson, you appeared in one of my ayahuasca visions, and I asked her, who is Jordan Peterson? What is he doing? Which is something I'd really like to know as well. And she responded with crystalline clarity. Quote, he is here to invoke and initiate the divine masculine principle on earth at this time.
Whoa, that sounds pretty impressive, don't you think? The divine masculine principle? That sounds like a good thing. As a guy who notices things, though, the at this time part really jumped out at me. But I was sold. You know, I joined up on the Patreon patron. I was paying, because like early on, he'd give you like private access for $400. Or that was the rumor. But, and he'd also do like monthly Q&As. And it was when I discovered this gem. You see, and the gem I'm about to show you, the reason it's a gem to me is because I had grown up irreligious or secular. Secular, if you will, just a set worshiper like everybody else, you know. And as it happened, eventually I tried to get close to God. And I ended up doing so in the Pentecostal church. And if you don't know anything about the Pentecostal church, that's where the ones where the Holy Ghost descends upon them and they talk all funny. And they do the speaking in tongues. And so I was trying to get there, you know. I was like chasing after God. Hey, I want to do that. And the problem was, before they told me that the only unforgivable sin in the Bible was blasphemy against the Holy Ghost, I had been calling it, I can't wait to get the juice. And I was like, oh, shh. So you see, as such, I was really primed for blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. And at some point thereafter, I had heard, no, calling it names is not blasphemy. It's rejecting it that's the blasphemy. And then during one of those Q&As, I saw this one.
Really, really concentrating hard on that Mandela. And I was standing in my living room and then I had this very strange experience. The sky opening up and God sort of peering forth through the clouds. And that's exactly what seemed to happen to me, is that I had this sense. It was like a vision, although I was still in my living room and knew it. But inside the theater of my imagination, I could feel the sky opening up. Now, the only way I can really think about it is that it was something like another dimension. And then I could feel this force descend upon me. classically something like the Holy Ghost, I suppose. And it filled me with this intense sense of paradisal, I don't know how to say it. Well, it was like being in heaven for some brief period of time. I could feel myself transformed, transmuted as a consequence of this experience. It was as if I was in the presence of something that was living, you know, and I suppose that was an experience of God, if you want to put it that way. That's certainly what it seemed like, and I felt that I could live that way. I could live transfigured like that permanently if I desired it. And I thought, I don't know how I would act. I don't know how I would interact with people. I don't know how people would interact with me. I just don't think that I could do it. And then I felt that whatever had descended, it seemed that as if it was sorrowful, and it departed from me slowly. And it was as if a gift had been offered that I wasn't in no position to receive.
So I was primed to see that as a rejection of the Holy Spirit, which was like a giant, giant red flag about this fella. And sometime around the same time, I'm not sure exactly when, but that was when this man introduced us to his good friend, Jonathan Pageot, who has become quite an inspiration and a friend to me. And well, a friend might be a stretch, sir. Okay, but quite an inspiration nonetheless, yes. And the way he brought Jonathan Pageot into our awareness was sort of as a bishop of symbolism. I mean, the man now runs the Symbolic World website, and it's all into symbolism. And and I don't know why I can't find these videos on either of their channels, but they brought... Peterson came on and he was like, check this out. It's a symbol. And he put it on his head. And Pageot was like, yeah, that's a symbol. And was like validated himself as an interpreter of symbology and also coronated Peterson with this.
I would say that as spokesfrog, I'm announcing that there's something polluted about the water in which we're all swimming and that we better clean it up or there's going to be the frog.
Now, see, at these times in our history, Peterson had achieved his fame by being like, hey, trannies, you can't put your words in my mouth. That's not cool. And this Bill C-617 or whatever that's apparently passed and that people can still be thrown in jail for it because you've done no good. And then he crowns himself with this keck hat. And he basically tells all of the otherwise frogs that would throw over in revolution against the wokeness, just go clean your rooms, fellas. Just go clean your rooms. We can restore these institutions. And then he's shot up into fame by the power of the Joe Rogan. And then the harrowing came. And they took the man and they threatened his wife with a mortal injury. And they ran him around on book tours until he collapsed. And then they had this daughter put him in the coma, all the while he's strung out on benzos. And this, my friends, created a gaping void or a donut, if you will, of content consumption. There was a primed audience hungry for it, and we had no more Peterson to eat. And that, my friends, was the rise of what we have lovingly come to know as this little corner. Where chiefly we do two things. First, this.
In all our searching, the only thing we've found that makes the emptiness bearable is each other.
And this.
The list?
Yes, any of the first level ones.
I'm gonna get a soda. Anyone want one? Hey, Graham, I'm not in the room, right?
What room? I want to cast magic missile.
The room where he's casting all these spells from.
He hasn't cast anything yet.
I am, though, if you'd listen. I'm casting magic missile.
Why are you casting magic missile? There's nothing to attack here.
I'm attacking the darkness.
Now, the TLC content production was mainly maintained by our good friend Jonathan Pageot, a man named John Verveke, who wants to make a religion that's not a religion because of the way the religious people were when he was raised. And also this man named Paul Pastor Andeclay, who was very excited that Peterson got people looking at the Bible again and decided to think out loud on YouTube about it. And now that he thought out loud over and over as a maven would, several people have joined him in this cognitive online process because we're all kind of cyborgs now. And the reason that this Marxist ideology was able to spread so much is, I'll tell you this. I know very little about Marxism, but I know they wanted to seize the means of production. And guess what, boys and girls?
That everybody watching has no memory and no education and no attention span because the bandwidth requirements demand that, and now that's all gone. That's not an insult, by the way.
Sure.
It was, in some sense, you're documenting something that's so revolutionary that even the people using it don't know how revolutionary it is. So let me ask you about this. So now all of a sudden, the network, everyone's a TV station. Okay, so now...
Hail Hydra.
Brandon, bark with a coward's shame. What do you do when you're Brandon? Will you fight for your name?
So we have the means of production, and I was making troll videos of Papa Peterson like that. And so from, I suspect, on high of CAA or something, Pastor Paul was handled to manage this Grim Grizz character. And rather than managing me by, like, snuffing me out or shooting me down, he did that whole I'll give him enough rope to hang himself thing and loaned me some of his audience's attention. And that is really what helped me sustain the virtually not alone nature of those of us that had gathered around the content donut during Peterson's absence. And during such an absence, we got exposed to many of Jonathan Pageau's weird theories and such. So when Peterson made his fancy return post-coma in the funny costumes, I remembered things such as this talk.
Worthy of being king. So he's being disrobed. And that's by the way, that is the function of the jester, right? That's always been the function of the court jester. So the court clown was there to disrobe the king a little bit, to keep him humble, right? To expose some truths about him, some unfortunate truths about the king that would expose him a little bit so that he'd never thought that he was everything. And that was the role of the clown at the edge. And in general, that's maybe the positive role of all clowns. That's kind of what the positive roles that they can play.
And when I finally had the chance to meet Jonathan Pageau, I was considering myself as the role of the jester. But as we all gather here around for this Jordan Peterson event and him out in his jester suit, watching the jester, showing what's wrong with the king, I'm reminded of what Pageau told me when we met, but instead of applying it to myself, I apply it in thought now to Jordan Peterson.
Fool plays a role in secretly legitimizing the thing he's participating in, you know, and that's part of what the Holy Fool does, right? So the jester is both mocking the king and legitimizing the king at the same time. Right. He's helping the king to avoid the problem of tyranny with the king thinking that he's God and has no faults. And so he'll make sure we all know that the king's got everything under that robe that we do, right? It's like he's as messy as all of us, right? So he's gonna try to do that, but he's ultimately doing to serve the kingdom, right, and not to destroy it. So maybe that's it. But I don't know for the monetization part. I don't know. But
yeah, the king usually pays him, right?
That's right. That's a problem. So you got to... It's good to meet you, man. Good to meet you.
And so as such, I wonder now if this Jordan Peterson man is merely performing the role as Metropolitan of his church of not following stupid rules and being the jester of Klaus Schwab. You know that I heard that when these conferences started, people started receiving commercials that placed ARC in competition with Netflix. It's like Netflix is woke, Disney is woke, ARC ain't. And so what? You're making a new TV station? You're making a new the new Netflix, brought to you by the... thanks for having me on, everybody. That's my speech for the ARC. I hope you guys have a great time. Watch the jesters.
The frog is a harbinger of dangerous times, because